That's what we're going to be talking about over the next couple of weeks. We're going to, I'm going to call this one grateful, because how many of you know we need to be grateful for the things that we've been given, right? And throughout the next weeks, we'll be talking about that. And I want you to, think this thought. Is Thanksgiving something we do once a year, or should it be that we live our lives in a mindset of thanksgiving, that we live our lives in a mindset of gratitude to God, to people, to the things that are around us? God's been really good to us. He's been really good to me, and I need to be grateful for it. I think sometimes we forget about being grateful because we're so worried about the things that are coming or the things that have come, or we're focused on what we're going to get next or what we're going to do. I see that. You know where I see that? I mean, my mom saw it in me, I guarantee you. But I see it in my kids, right? They want these things. They want these things, and they get these things. They have them, and then they don't take care of the things they've been given, but they want something more. Right. And I don't mean, I don't want to belittle or disrespect anybody, but the majority of our Christian life, that's what our lives are, honestly, if we look at it. When we talk to God, it's about what he's done, what he's going to do. And we're not very grateful when he does those things. We might at first say, oh, thank you. And then we go on to something else. And that may not be you, but I guarantee you I'm guilty of it all the time. And I see myself in it. And I want to change that. I want God to know how thankful I am for the things that he's done. Because you know what? We can always find something to complain about. How many of you know? We can always find something to complain about. But you see, in the exact same situations, we can always find something to be grateful about. Remember when we talked about a little while back about the joy of the Lord, how it's supposed to always be in our lives, but we don't find it. Why? Because we're focusing on the things that don't bring us joy in the situation instead of focusing on God and what he can do in the situation. Let me show you what I'm talking about in our everyday life. I'm grateful that I find a spot at the far end of the parking lot, right? Because that means I got feet and I can walk. I'm thankful for the person who sings off key in the middle of church, because that means I can hear, right? Don't put your hand down. He said, it's me. I'm grateful for too much email, text, and messages, and my phone ringing off the hook, because that means I got people that are thinking about me. I got people that care. See, we can always find stuff to complain about. But in those same situations, we can find things to be grateful for as well. 1 Thessalonians 5:16 through 18, and I added 16 and 17. It wasn't in the thing, you guys, so it might not be on the screen. But it says, rejoice always, pray without ceasing, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. You ever wonder what the will of God was for you in your life? And we're like, man, I want to know your will. Rejoice always, pray without ceasing, give thanks in all circumstances. All circumstances, not just the good circumstances, not just the good things. In good times, be thankful, be grateful. In bad times, be thankful, be grateful. You know what? Because it could always be worse. Amen. Right? It could always be worse. I'm gonna look up that. There's a thing that I just thought about right now, but I'm gonna use that next week, even if it fits or not, because I don't want to mess it up. In life, we learn that there are really two kinds of people, and it's really true if you think about it. And it's that the view of the glass is half full or the glass is half empty, right? Is that, which one is it? Is it half full? Am I missing out some things? Is it half full? Look at how much, I've got at least this. Or is it, it's empty. Look at what I don't have. Yeah, I have this, but look at what I don't have. I have these things, or this is going well, or I have this part of my, but look at this, I don't have this, right? There's so many things that we mess up because our perspective is wrong on how we're seeing things in our lives, and because of that, it causes us to not be thankful, to not be grateful. If you're a really optimistic person, this is going to be an easy message. If you're pessimistic, it's going to be a little tougher. Some of you are kind of pessimistic at times. I'll be honest, man. When a situation comes, I see the negative that could happen out of it before I see the good. I've always been that way. I don't know why. I just have always been that way. Somebody will say, here, what about this? I'm like, yeah, but this, and this, man. Before I even look at the good that can come out of it, right? before I even see that. And we need to understand that in our lives, we need to focus on those things that God is doing that's amazing. You know what? I love babies crying in service. I do. I do. And some people could be sitting there like, and I'm not doing this to embarrass you. Some people could be sitting there like, man, I wish that baby would be quiet. No, I'm glad that baby's here. That baby is beautiful, y'all. She's just talking. She's amening me. Y'all just don't know it, right? Huh? I don't mind that. I don't mind that. When there are kids in here and they're, you know what, they're getting a little older and they start getting tired because I'm talking too long. I understand. I get tired sometimes talking so long too. But what happens is I don't mind that being there. Some people look at that as bad. I'm glad they're here. I'm glad they're seeing what worship is supposed to be like. I'm glad they're seeing what the Word of God says. Even at their age, they might not really truly understand, but you know what? God can call it to their remembrance anything. Putting it in there. We could find things to complain about. The music's too loud, or the music's too soft, or it's too hot, or it's too cold, or this is happening, or the pews are uncomfortable. I wish they'd get some better seats, or whatever. We could find something to complain about, but let's find the good in things instead. Let's look to what to be grateful for. Paul, man, he wrote two-thirds of the New Testament, right? He could have complained about a whole lot. Remember when we talked about Philippians? He was shipwrecked. He was thrown in prison. He wrote most of the New Testament from prison, from either house arrest or even in chains, right? And he wrote those while he was waiting to see if he's going to be executed or not, right? He was waiting. Caesar was there. They were trying. He appealed to Caesar. That's the only reason why he went there, right? He was there for no reason other than to preach in Jesus Christ. He had all these issues and all these things, and he could definitely, he'd have been a number one to be able to complain about something, right? But he didn't. We look at our lives and complain about things. When we look at other people's lives, they pale in comparison. And I'm not trying to say that your issues aren't valid and they're not good. They are. They are, because it's what we're dealing with. Remember we talked about fear? Just because my fear, you'd be like, man, that's stupid. Why are you afraid of that? Doesn't mean it's not fearful to me, right? And we all face different issues at different times in our lives, and a hurdle that might be big for you is not big for me. A hurdle that might be big for me is not big for you in certain areas of our lives. But this is the thing, man. We need to understand that in every issue, everything that we go through, we need to be thankful. He heard that the church he was writing in Philippi had concerned about his bad condition, and he was glad for their concern. But this is what he writes to them. For those of you who don't know, Paul's in prison. He's again waiting to meet Caesar to see whether he was going to be executed or not. He's 2 years he's in this place, right? For 2 years. And in this time, for those of you that don't know, he was on what they called house arrest. He could live in his own dwelling, but there was always a guard there with him. He couldn't go anywhere. He had to stay where he was at. If you read the book of Acts, you'll see that's where it's at. Read the book of Romans. It talks about those different things. But what happens is he's there, and they, out of the kindness and the goodness of their heart, put together an offering and send it to him so that he's able to have his needs met. I mean, you know, God supplies all your needs according to his riches and glory. Wasn't from the church in Philippi. God sent it through them. But this is what happens. He starts he wants them to understand something. And it's something that you and I need to understand in our lives. Again, we are the most blessed nation in the world. Yes. Right? We live better than the majority of our world. Right? Even the ones in our poverty level live better than the rich people in the other countries. So, but he's writing to them, and he says this. He says in Philippians 4, verses 11 through 13. Again, this is one of the misquoted scriptures that's in there, but it works. I'm not saying this because I am in need, for I have learned to be content whatever the circumstance. I know what it is to be in need. I know what it is to have plenty. I have learned the secret of being content in any and every situation, whether well-fed or hungry, whether living or in plenty or in want, I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength. No matter what situation I am, Christ is going to strengthen me to be able to walk through it. Christ is going to put the things in my hands that I need, maybe not all my wants. Like, I don't have to have a big TV, y'all. I don't even have to have a TV. Right? Y'all got really quiet. Y'all must love your TVs, huh? I don't have to have those things in my life to be able to be who God called me to be and to have a good time. This is the thing. I saw it this week while I'm at my in-law's house, right? Two things, good and bad, about my in-law's house. They're both the same thing. You want to know what it is? They don't have any Wi-Fi hardly. It's spotty. It's one of those satellite ones that never works. So, and no cell service for AT&T or for Verizon or for any of the ones except for the little tiny one that's in their town. It works really great out there. But that whole week, I had nothing to do. If you saw, man, at 3 o'clock at night, 3 o'clock in the morning, my phone went ding, 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 because I got all my things that have been piling up all at one time, right? And then I didn't get nothing for like 12 more hours, you know? And so that's how it worked. And you know what? I could be grumpy and I could be upset about that, but you know what that made me do? That made me not be on my phone. It made me spend time with my kids, which I should be doing anyway. Maybe not sit inside and scroll up on Facebook and Pinterest and all those different things that I like to do. And it made me get out there and I help my father-in-law do some stuff that he can't do, right? There's so many things that, and I could sit there and be mad and be ticked off because I didn't get to have these things and I don't know what's going on and I can't read about all the stuff that's coming up and how much trash is being talked between Alabama and LSU because that's coming this weekend and I know it, right? I can't get on there and be a part of that. And I could be mad about that, or I could enjoy what I do have. That's my family. That's the people that are around me. That's what God's given me at this moment. You know what? The next moment might be completely different because, you know, we're not promised anything. This ain't in my notes, but I'm going to add it in. Squirrel, y'all ready? If you're mad at somebody in your family or you got issues or something, fix it. Fix it. Fix it. Doesn't need to be that way. It doesn't need to be that way. And one day, you might not have the opportunity, right? You might not have the opportunity. You know what I hear from people all the time that have lost a family member or something has happened? The last thing that I said to them was hateful. And I wish I could take it back. Right? It's never, well, I wish I would have told them this before they went, right? It's always, why did I say those things? Can I fix it? I wish I could fix it. I wish I could change it. I wish I could see the good in the relationship that we have instead of harping on that one thing that they've done that made me so mad I ain't ever talking to them again. Right? Or the 3,500 things they did that were wrong. Let's find some good stuff about the relationship, about who they are. Let's try and find the good in every situation. Let's be grateful that we have an opportunity to fix things now. Not only with people, but especially with our God. Amen? Today, when we think about what we're going to be grateful for, first, I want us to dwell on one thing this week. Y'all remember one thing. Pick one thing. Y'all remember. I had an opportunity to, and I don't know how many people I told that to this week, but they were like, oh, wow, that's good. I'm going to start doing that. I've told y'all this before. Some of y'all haven't heard. I went to Joel Osteen's church in Houston years ago, and I came out of there, and I was ready to attack hell with a water pistol. Like, I was ready to go, man. I felt so good. I was excited. I was energized. I was ready to go. And they said, what did he talk about? I was like, I don't know, but I feel good about it. Right? I feel really good. This is great. God is good, and let's attack. Like, how are we going to do it? I don't know, but let's just. That's how I was. And at that moment, they said, well, what good did it do for you to be there besides feel good? What change is going to come? What difference is there because you were there? If not, then it's not any different than watching a movie that makes you feel really good. If you don't get something and then allow your lives to be changed by what's said, by the song service, by the worship that's there, unless you allow that God to do something in you, then it's. And please don't get this wrong. I'm not saying church is a waste of time. I'm not at all. It's needful. We need this. We need to be here. But if your life isn't changed by what's happening and you're not growing because of what's there, what good did it do you to be here besides see other people? And I don't want you to take that wrong, man, and maybe I shouldn't have said it like that. That's not what I mean. But the reason why we come here is not just so we get to hang out and have fun and eat donuts and coffee. It's not so that we get a performance of people singing on the stage that we stand and watch didn't they sing great? Now, they did sing amazingly, and it was great. But that's not the purpose of why we're here doing this. The purpose of why we're doing this is to allow God to change our hearts and lives and to see who Christ is and who he wants to be in our lives and to see areas that we need change. Yes. To see areas that we need change. And I'll be honest, this point right here, this whole sermon series, I could just preach it to me and it would do wonders for me. Again, most pastors, most preachers, most people that get behind the pulpit, the only reason why they have things to say to you is because God's already got them for it. Right? The only reason why I can scold y'all about what y'all not doing right, because God done hit me a bunch of times about the same thing. We need to be grateful. We need to be grateful. And the first thing that we're going to do, how much time? I got time. Cool. The first thing that we need to do is look and be thankful for the grace of God. If not for the grace of God, where would I be? If not for the grace of God, where would you be? You know, so many times I hear people giving their testimony like, if it wasn't for God, I'd be dead. And you know what? If it wasn't for God, we'd all be dead. Dead in our sins, according to the word. We wouldn't have life. When we came to Christ, we accepted his grace, God's grace. We accepted it. It's there for us. It's always been there for us. But then once we accept it, many of us continue to go back to the way that our lives were, not living in his grace. Let me show you what I mean. Galatians 3, chapter 3. He's talking to the Galatians. He says, "Are you so foolish, having begun by the Spirit, are you now being perfected by the flesh?" The NIV says this, "How foolish can you be after starting your new lives in the Spirit? Why are you now trying to become perfect by your own human effort?" Well, what was happening is the Galatians were trying to bring legalism back in and say, well, you have to do this, you have to do this, or you can't be a Christian. You have to change this, you have to live this way. And you know what? For many years, that's what Christianity was brought down to and pulled down to, was if you don't look like us, then you're not a Christian. But you know what, man? There's Christians of all shapes and sizes. There's Christians that have just come to Christ and still got a lot of change to go. So to try and put my standard of living on them is wrong in any aspect. To put your standard on them of living is wrong in any aspect. To look at people and say, well, you have to do this or you have to do that, or can I do this or can I do that? Man, it's not up for me to say. It's up for the Spirit to tell you out of his word what's right for you to do and what's wrong for you to do. Stop asking people that question. Look to God. Be honest. We're trying to put what we have to do in order to be. Now, let me get this. Let me share you this. I'm going to stop. I'm going to go back to here. I'm going to go back to my notes. Y'all want me to go back to my notes? This is what happens. I'm going to do it because I think it comes later. If not, I'll hit it next week. They were trying to bring legalism back into their faith, right? Not understanding that it's a gift that it gives to us. Now, it's not about what we've done or how we've done it. It's about what he's done and how he did it, right? It's about what he wants to do in our lives, not about what we want to do in our lives. In your notes, man, I'm grateful because his grace, number one, is a gift. There's nothing we can do to earn it. We say that all the time, and we talk that all the time, but then, again, we put things on it. There's an acronym for GRACE. Y'all ready to hear it? You may have heard it before. It's God's riches at Christ's expense. It's everything that God has because Christ died for you and for me. There's nothing I can do to earn it. It's a gift. Romans 3:23-24. "For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God and are justified by his grace as a gift through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus." So in your walk, in your Christian walk, you can relax a little bit. And you can understand that it's a gift. He's given it to you. You can't do anything to earn it. He's given me grace because he loves me. He's given you grace because he loves you. Now let me tell you this thought. I want you to listen to this and understand this, that grace produces good works. Good works does not produce grace. Because of the grace of God, the freedom that he's given me, there's things that are going to happen in my life that's going to be a change, that's going to be a difference, that things that people are going to see like night and day, like a switch turned off sometimes in some areas. And then there's some areas that I'm going to struggle with because I'm bonehead. I'm not going to say you're a bonehead, but I'm just going to say you're going to struggle with some stuff too, right? There's going to be some things that are going to completely change. And it's not that I need to put a label on you as you need to change this and you need to do that and you need to do this. The only time I can do that, y'all ready for the only time you can do that? In the mirror, in the morning when you're getting up. You need to change this. You need to change that. If you got a point at somebody, do it then. It's the only time to do it. And other than that, walk in grace with people, man. Walk in grace with people. It's not about our works, man. It's because God is good to us and he loves us. And he's given us this gift. And the truth of the matter is because God's love for us, we want to do good. We want to change things. Because of my relationship with my wife, I want to do things that please her. Why? Because she laid down, "Thou shalt not" in my house? No. If she did, it'd be easy for me to figure out what I'm supposed to do because I'm a guy and that's just... But it doesn't work that way. I see her and I see her not happy and I think, what can I do to fix this? I see my kids and I see them in need or in want or in those things. And it's not because you didn't do your chores, so I ain't going to help you right now. You're just going to be on your own. It's not about that. It's not about that with God either. It's a gift. I'm never going to be good enough to earn God's grace. The only way is because this is what point number two is coming up. You ready? Yeah. I'm grateful because his grace is sufficient. It's enough. It's all we need. 2 Corinthians 12:9 says this. But he said to me, "My grace is sufficient for you. My power is made perfect in your weakness. Therefore, I boast all the more gladly in my weakness so that the power of Christ may rest upon me." We're sanctified by his grace. We're motivated by his grace. We're called to service by his grace. We're called to service and to do things for other people. Why? Because he's done things for us. And we understand that model because of seeing it. How many of you know your kids understand handle situations, right or wrong, because of how they look at you? That's one of the things I had. I have one of my youth, man. They just had a little baby girl, and I was sitting there, and I said, "Listen, man, I'm gonna be a teacher here. I'm gonna be a pastor here for a minute. I'm gonna tell you some stuff, but this is what I want you to understand." I said, "Everybody's gonna tell you how to raise that baby, everybody, but it's up to you guys to decide how you're gonna do it." I said, "I'm gonna give you some advice, and you can take it or leave it." I said, "When that baby comes, be mean at first." I was mean to my kids at first. Now my kids are good. I don't have to be mean, right? I was. And I was mean because I love them. Now, I wasn't mean just to be mean, but I was mean because I want them to understand in the very small things what's bad so that when the big thing comes, they understand there's consequences for everything that happens, right? And I said, "Now, everything I did with love. I talked to them. I said, 'Hey, this is,' even before they really understood what I was saying to them, 'This is why I'm doing what I'm doing. This is what's happened. This is what we talked about. This is the result of it. And because you did this, this is what's going to happen.' So you know what happens now today when I'm with my kids and about to get in trouble? We sit down. I don't yell at them. I don't scream at them. I sit down. I say, 'Hey, what do we talk about?' And they say, 'This.' I say, 'What did we say would happen if that happened?' He said, 'This.' Okay. What did you do? I did that. So what has to happen now? This, right? And they understand completely. And they know why what's coming is coming. Why? Because they understand that there's a right and a wrong and that you do get those things and they are going to come to you, right? The cool thing about us right now is we live under the dispensation of what is called grace in God's period, in the time periods, right? We don't get struck down dead in the middle of something because we didn't do right, right? doesn't mean our punishment won't come to us. It means not now. It doesn't mean that it's never going to be there. It's grace deferred is what it is right now. And the only time that it's not going to come to me is when I give it to him and say, listen, I repent of these things. Forgive me. Why? How do I know that? Because there's a couple of different judgments we go through. You can look at that in Revelations. There's a couple of different judgments that we stand. One separates the sheep from the goats, but the other one says, what did you do and how did you do it? According to Scripture, that's what it says. That there'll be rewards for things that are done here. That's how he says, store your treasures up in heaven, right? If there weren't treasures to be stored up, why would he tell us those things? How do we do that? By the things that we do. It's not to earn our salvation. And let me tell you something, man. The worst that you do in your life are not for you one iota. They're not for you at all. The works that are done in your life are so that other people can see God and he can be glorified because of it. Because of the difference, because of the change, because of the things that happen. That's why God puts things in our hands. So that others can see how good he is. And say, I don't know what that is. I don't know how you have peace in the middle of the situation. I don't know how with all this turmoil going around, you're finding the one good thing to dwell on and holding on to that. How are you doing that? Because my life's falling apart and I need something to hold on to. You give him Jesus. Grace. I can't earn it. There will be works that come out of my life, but that's not what gets me to heaven. It's not what gets me to communion with my Father. It's a gift that he's given me, access to him. And all I have to do is accept it. All you have to do is accept it. Be honest, man. There was a time that my motivation was to avoid hell. That's why I wanted to know Jesus, so I don't have to go to hell. Right? How many of you were ever there? Right? Be honest. Don't chicken wing it. Be honest. I just don't want to go to hell. So I'm going to accept Jesus because then I don't go to hell. I don't get out of hell free card. Right? But now, out of those of you that have raised your hand, how many of you know that's not even a factor in your motivation as to why you serve God right now? Amen. You know what? I used to love it when girls would bring their boyfriends to church. They didn't go to church. Why? Because that was just an opportunity for them to get to know them. Now, first thing I also did when they brought him in, I was like, where does he go to church? Like right in front of him. Like, where does he go to church? I didn't even talk to him. It's like, where does he go to church? Well, he doesn't. Well, you need to know Jesus, man. If you want, they heard, you need to know Jesus, right? I do it. You know how embarrassed everybody get in a situation, except for me. I just thought it was funny. But you know what? I don't care what brought them to church. I care that they were there and they heard the gospel of Christ. See that this whole, I said I wasn't going to get into this. I'm going to get into this. This whole Kanye West thing, you know what? I'm glad he's preaching Jesus Christ. Amen. I'm glad that somebody is standing up. And I'm going to tell you, for most of the people, I ain't going to say that. That's me being judgmental. I ain't going to be judgmental, y'all, at least not from here. I ain't going to be judgmental at all. I need to not be ever. But at one point, my motivation was just to not go to hell. And that's why I wanted his grace, because I don't want to go to hell. But my relationship is so much different. Why? Because I actually have a relationship now. And I actually understand what it means. Because this is a statement and it's so true. If there's anything good in me, it's only because of the grace of God. Because on my own devices, I'm an idiot and I'm not good. Let me just say this. Every time, so that I don't have to say it over and over again. Every time I say me, just put yourself in that one and repeat the sentence. There's nothing you can do. Sometimes we all do stupid things. And it's not because of our righteousness. It's not because of what we've done. It's not because God is sitting up there waiting to get us. Let me show you what I mean. There was a lady, and she was having a horrible day. She got a speeding ticket on the way to work, and then when she got to work, she had a bad day. Her boss chewed her out for being late and this, that, and the other, and nothing was going right that day. And then she thought, well, what did I do wrong? And then she said, well, you know what? I didn't pray this morning when I first got up. And because of this, God is punishing me because I didn't pray. Let me tell you something. That's not God. That's not how he works. That's not how he works. Now, there are consequences to our actions. When we do certain things, we do get things that happen to us. You speed, you get a ticket. I mean, not all the time, but most of the time. I get them all the time. Well, not now, but before, because my mama used to always pray, God, whenever he does wrong, let me find out about it. Then I'm getting in trouble. And it's still stuck. Like right now, I ride down the road without my seatbelt on. Like, woo, like, hey, I'm sorry. Here's my seatbelt. Right? Those things happen. But why do they happen? Because God's getting me. No, because I'm doing wrong. And that's what happens when you do wrong. If you're having a bad day, do you know why? Do you know why your day gets better when you start praying and talking to God about what you haven't done? It's because you put him in the situation finally. Right? You stop trying to do it by yourself and you look to him and say, God, I can't do it by myself. Help me with this. I don't know what's wrong, but I do know you're not a part of it and I want to change it. That's why your day gets better when you start praying and looking to God for things. It ain't because you didn't to start with. But if we would understand when we first get out of bed in the morning, when we first get up in the morning, that everything that we have comes from him, right? That if we go into our day with, how many of you, if you go into the day with a bad attitude, you're going to have a bad day. How many of you know if you go into with a good attitude, most of the time you have a good day? Now, there are those idiots that help factor in later on when you get to work, right? But it's one of those things that where's our focus at? Our focus needs to be on Thanksgiving. I hate my job. At least you have a job, man. How many people don't have a job? Well, there's nobody saved at my... Oh, don't say that one. There's no Christians at my work. I need to quit and go someplace else. No, you need to be a light and let them see it. And maybe they'll be drawn to Christ by your actions. My actions. I'm thankful for his grace because it's sufficient. It's enough to cover everything that I've done and more. I like that. I don't remember if it was Aaron or John that said this. The only thing that I brought to salvation, to the table when it comes to redemption and to the grace of God is my sin. That's the only thing I contributed. I was an idiot. Was it, did you say that, Aaron? Was that you? I don't know. I'm giving you credit, man. Look how smart he is. He got him up that. It's a true statement, right? The only thing I bring to the table is not good when it comes to me and God. And the only thing that I have in me that's good is because of God, because he's changed me, because he's changed my mind, because the Holy Spirit has renewed my mind. And now, does my mind get messed up sometimes? It does, because I start trying to do things myself again. Oh, foolish Toby, why are you doing this? I could put that in there. It could happen. You should read Galatians, and when you get to that point, just insert your name, right? That's what I like to do with a lot of the scriptures. Because most of the issues that are there because he wanted me to understand how I'm supposed to live, and this is the person that did it, and he did it either right or he did it wrong. Did y'all know that? Everything that you're going to come across, there's an answer for it in here. There's somebody that did it or didn't do it. Now, the situations... The names might be changed to protect the innocent, right? But this is what happened. And we can look at those principles and put them into our lives. I'm so glad God had a rescue plan for me, right? Amen. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8 and 9. For by grace you have been saved through faith. It's not of your own doing. It's the gift of God, not a result of works, so that no one may boast. Let me tell you something. If there's anybody that tells you you have to do something in order to be saved, besides accept Jesus, okay, thanks, man. And going down the road. What does the scripture say? Dust the boots off. Put the dust off your boots and keep walking. Right? Because it's not true. It's not true. There's nothing I can do. There's nothing I can do to earn it. Jesus paid for it all. He paid for your past. He paid for your present. He paid for your future sins. It's because he loves us that we have forgiveness through his grace, that we have healing through his grace. I can't earn my healing. I can't generate miracles. I'm not a miracle generator. There's no one that is. And anyone who does have miracles happen around them because of a result of what they've done or how they've prayed, it's only because God did it through them. Amen. I want you guys to understand this. It kind of sums it up. It's a poem. Y'all ready? When I say I'm a Christian, I'm not shouting I'm clean, that I'm clean living. I'm whispering that I'm lost, but now I'm forgiven. When I say I'm a Christian, I don't speak of it with pride. I'm confessing that I stumbled and needed Christ to be my guide. When I say I'm a Christian, I'm not trying to be strong. I'm professing that I'm weak and I need his strength to carry on. When I say I'm a Christian, I'm not bragging of success. I'm admitting I'm failed and need God to clean up my mess. When I say I'm a Christian, I'm not claiming to be perfect. My flaws are far too visible, but God believes I'm worth it. When I say I'm a Christian, I still feel the sting of pain. I still have my share of heartaches, so I call upon his name. When I say I'm a Christian, I'm not holier than thou, just a simple sinner who receives God's grace somehow. God is good to us. We need to remember that. We need to be grateful. We need to have an attitude of gratefulness every morning when we get up, every evening when we go to bed. I do this with my kids at night before we go to bed. We have and I've shared this with some of you guys before, maybe all of you, I don't know. We have a time where we do thankful fours, and then we do prayer. We do a devotion, small devotion off of the Bible app on our phone. April does a devotion. We read, the girls read some scripture, and we talk, and then we talk about what we're thankful for, and then we pray. And thank God for all those things, for our day, for what happened. And this premise came because of this one thought that was given to me. Somebody preached it. I don't know, remember who did it or when it was. But it said this. It said, if you only woke up tomorrow with what you thank God for today, what would you actually have in your life? What people would be there? What would you have? And because of that, every night we're thankful for our family, our friends, our church. We're thankful for, and every single one of us have things that we pray for every night, or that we say that we're thankful for. All right, Sydney, your turn. Shelby, your turn. All right, my turn. Now let's pray. And we take turns praying so that they all know to pray, and they pray out loud, and that's how we do it at my house. And the reason why is because I want us to understand what it means to be thankful for what God has given us. And he's given us so many good things. And even though I've got issues, even though there's health issues sometimes, even though there's things that we struggle through, even though there's this problem and that problem, and there's always going to be some kind of a problem that'll take our focus away from where God should be in our life. That's how the enemy works, right? There's always going to be something that we could put our focus on to take us away from the things that God has done that is good in our lives. We need to look at those. We need to understand that this morning, God is not against you, that he's for you, that he made a way. Isaiah 55:7, let the wicked forsake his way, let the unrighteous man his thoughts. Let him return to the Lord, that he may have compassion on him, and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. He will forgive us. Pardon means that you were proven guilty, but now you're set free. Pardon means, doesn't mean you didn't do those things. A pardon means you did it. We know you did it, but we're not going to hold it accountable for you. And that's what God does for us. You did the crime, but you don't have to pay the time. God has paid for our sins through the sacrifice of Jesus. Don't pay for your own sins, man. Don't carry them. Allow God to have them. I want everybody to bow their heads, close your eyes. Guys, you could come on back up. God's grace, it's the greatest love story ever told. God so loved you that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life, eternal life. So I want to tell you this. We need to be grateful for the grace of God. And I want to be honest with you, man. If you're carrying your sin, you're carrying your guilt, you're carrying shame, God's issuing a pardon for you today. His mercy and his grace is here, and he can be found. He desires a relationship with you. If that's you this morning, man, I'm going to tell you a couple of scriptures right now so you know that I'm true, because this comes out of his word, and his word is true. Romans 3:23 says, all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. None of us are perfect, but God made a way. Amen. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life. Romans 10:9-10 says that if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, that you will be saved. You don't have to, look, it doesn't have to be anything special. You don't have to say a certain prayer or do a certain thing. The only reason why we say a prayer here is because of that scripture I just quoted. I want us all to confess with our mouth. Not just here, but outside of these walls as well. Today, man, you might need to make your relationship right. You've never given your life to Christ. I'm going to start with you this morning. Heads bowed, eyes closed, nobody looking. You be honest and say, man, my life is not where it should be. I haven't accepted Christ, and I need to today. I need to give him my all today. Just put your hand up, put it back down. Never received him, but I need to receive him today. All right, let's go to the next step. I've received him, but I've been trying to carry my own sin. I've been trying to live by works and justify myself instead of understanding that it's grace that makes me clean. I need to understand that in my life. And I need to receive his grace this morning. Just put your hand up, put it back down. Thank you, thank you, thank you. Anybody else? Thank you. Thank you. Somebody else? Thank you. I want you guys all to repeat this prayer after me. Say, dear Heavenly Father, I'm sorry for my sins. You paid for them. I give them to you now. Thank you for my freedom through your Son who died for me and rose again and made me new. I accept it now. Help me be who you created me to be. I got one more thing I want to talk about. When you look at your life, when you look at where you're at right now, when you look at your this past week, let's just focus it to this past week. Think about your life and how grateful were you to God for what you've been given. Especially at this time of year where that's supposed to be our focus. But let me tell you something, man. It's like most of the other things in life. It needs to not just be one time a year that we're thankful and we're grateful. It needs to be an attitude. The will of God. You guys ready? Let me find it. It's back down here. The will of God for our lives. First Thessalonians 5, 16 and 8, 16 through 18. We need to rejoice always, to pray without ceasing, and give thanks in all circumstances. For this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. You be honest and looking at your life right now. You're saved. You know he's your Savior. You know that he loves you. But you're forgetting one of the most important things in your life right now. And that is to rejoice always, to pray without ceasing, and to give thanks. You're forgetting the relationship part of this with God. You need to be a little more grateful. You need to change your focus. You need to allow your focus to be in a positive manner and not what's coming bad, what's this, what's that, but to be grateful for what God has put into your life. You be honest. Heads bowed, eyes closed. You say, that's me. I need to change that. Just put your hand up. Put it back down. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Heavenly Father, as you saw our hands, you know our hearts, Father God. You know the issues that we battle with, the things that we struggle with, and the mindset that we have, the perspective that we look through, God. Help us to see you. Help us to hear your spirit and be obedient. Help us follow you. We love you and we thank you. In Jesus' name, everybody said.